Well, good morning. I'm glad you're here. This is going to be a very special, special day. Thank you, Ben. Man, wasn't that a great worship today? Thank you, choir. Thank you, orchestra. Thank you, praise team. Wow, wow, wow. And think, just think, we got to experience that here. Well, I'm not preaching today, but I tell you what, you're going to be blessed with an amazing word from Dr. Woodrow Crowe. Dr. Crowe is part of our church family. He and his family have been attending here for years. And with over decades of ministry, he has been the Bible teacher on the Back to the Bible radio program that touches millions across the globe. And today, we have the privilege of underwriting the Helios Project to train Spanish-speaking pastors. Now, let me just go ahead and tell you out front, today is Double Offering Sunday. Aren't you blessed? It's awesome. We're going to have a chance to take two offerings. Number one, for our budget, and then at the end of the service, to help underwrite Helios. Now, let me just be really clear with you and tell you, it's going to take $175,000 to underwrite that. But here's the good news. We have all the money we need. The bad news is it's in your pocket right there. So I want you to even now begin praying what God wants you to give specifically for the Helios Project. There is a card there in your bulletin that I want you to refer to and let you know what your giving will underwrite. And this is so powerful. I'm looking forward for us to be part of this because this is not about us, but it's about the kingdom of God. And I'm looking forward to you being blessed by Dr. Crowe, as well as God blessing you for being part of blessing his kingdom this day. Why don't you welcome Dr. Woodrow Crowe. Come, Wood. Thank you.
Well, good morning to all of you. Thank you for this Helios Sunday. I consider it a great privilege to be a part of those projects and to be a part of this church. Yes, that is me. I want to thank whoever chose this picture. It makes me look 10 years younger, so thank you so very much. This morning, I want to talk with you about God's gifts. God gives good gifts to us. We all enjoy getting gifts. We enjoy giving gifts. Sometimes when friends give us gifts, they're often a bit strange or a bit odd. Isn't that true? I wonder what the strangest gift is that you've ever been given. Think about that a minute. I can tell you right off the bat what mine is. Some years ago, some friends who had attended a conference at which I was speaking, and they'd been at maybe a dozen or more other conferences where I was the speaker, they came to Linda and me and they said, "We have a gift we'd like to give you." I said, "Oh, thank you, that is so nice of you." And then I said, "What is it?" And they looked at each other a bit sheepishly, and finally they said, "We want to give you the headstone for your grave." And I said, "Oh?" They said, "Yes." And I said, "Listen, I can't let you do that. Headstones are very expensive pieces. I can't possibly let you do that." And they said, "It's too late. We've already bought it." So if you come to Ashland, Nebraska, where I live, and you drive west through the town to the town cemetery at the edge of the town, you will drive into the cemetery, and almost immediately you will see a black onyx Bible, just like this. The spine on the Bible of this black onyx headstone says Holy Bible on it. In fact, it's about 9 inches wide. When these folks saw this Bible, they thought immediately of me and they bought our headstone for us. So there it is in the Ashland Cemetery, Crowe etched right in it. When it was erected, people thought Linda and I died, but you need to come and see it sometime because it's 48 by 72. It's massive. I mean, you could see this thing from space. It's so big. It's the strangest gift I've ever been given. But you know, when I think about the gifts that God gives to us, they are such great gifts. Today, I want to explore five gifts that God gives to you and me. And the first one is the gift of divine salvation. God gives us salvation. We don't buy it. We don't earn it. We can't buy it or earn it. It is the free gift of God's grace. Jesus said it this way in John 5:24. Very truly I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Life is God's gift to me, eternal life. And as a result of that, as a result of taking the Son as my Savior, the Father has given me eternal life. And if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior today, the same thing is true for you. God has given you the gift of the Son, which is, in fact, the gift of eternal life. I don't know if you've heard this story before. I encountered it several years ago, and I thought it would be appropriate for us this morning. Let me just read it to you. It's pretty short. It says this. Years ago, a wealthy man, along with his devoted young son, shared a passion for collecting art. Together, they traveled around the world, adding only the finest treasures to their personal collection. Priceless works by Picasso and Van Gogh, Monet, and others adorned the walls of the family estate. The old man looked on with satisfaction as his only child became an experienced art collector. The son's trained eye and sharp business mind caused his father to beam with pride. As winter approached, war engulfed the nation, and the young man left to serve his country. After only a few short weeks, his father received a telegram. His son died while carrying a fellow soldier to a medic. Distraught and lonely, the old man faced the upcoming Christmas holidays with anguish and sadness. On Christmas morning, a knock came to the old man's door. He was greeted by a soldier with a large package in his hand. He introduced himself as the man whose life the son had saved. The old man invited him in. As they began to talk, the soldier told of how the man's son often mentioned his love of fine art. "I'm an artist," said the soldier. "I want to give this to you." The old man unwrapped the package, revealing a portrait of his son. Although not a work of genius, the painting featured the young man's face in striking detail. Overcome with emotion, the man thanked the soldier, promising to hang the picture above the fireplace, pushing aside priceless paintings. And then the man sat in his chair and spent Christmas gazing at the gift he'd been given. The following spring, the old man became ill and passed away. The art world waited in anticipation for the day that the man's masterpieces would be auctioned off. According to the old man's will, all of the artworks would be auctioned on Christmas Day, the day he had received his greatest gift, the painting of his son. Art collectors from around the world gathered to bid on some of the world's most spectacular paintings. The auction began with a painting that was not really on anyone's museum list. It was the painting of the man's son. The auctioneer asked for an opening bid. The room was silent. "Who will open the bidding with $100? No one spoke. From the back of the room, someone shouted, "Who cares about that painting? It's just a picture of his son. Let's get on to the good stuff." "No, we have to sell this one first," replied the auctioneer. "Now, who will take the son?" Finally, a friend of the old man spoke. "Will you take $10 for the painting? That's all I have. I knew the boy, so I'd like to have it." I have $10. Will anyone give me higher? More silence. Finally, the auctioneer, after a long time, said, going once, going twice, gone. The gavel fell. Cheers filled the room, and someone exclaimed, now we can get on with the masterpieces. But the auctioneer looked at the audience and announced that the auction was over. Stunned disbelief quieted the room. Someone spoke up and asked, what do you mean it's over? What about all those paintings? There are millions of dollars of art here. I demand you explain what's going on. The auctioneer replied, it's very simple. According to the will of the Father, whoever takes the Son gets it all. I was 5 years old when I got it all. The gift of God's salvation not only brought eternal life to me, but brought a whole life here and now to invest in the kingdom of God. You and I, when we have the Son, have it all, friends. That's the great gift that God gives to us. Well, there is a second gift that God has given to us, and it is the gift of divine vision. The ability to see beyond what is in front of us. Let me read just a passage to you out of Revelation chapter 5. In this story, the 24 elders and the living creatures and everyone is falling down before the Lamb being the Lord Jesus. They fall down before the Lamb, they sing a new song, and this is what they sing. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. With your blood you purchased men for God and from every tribe and language and people and nation. Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to look to your left and then look to your right. Look up and see our ceiling. Look down and see this stage. And I want you to recognize that this is our community. Inside these walls is the community of Westside Church. But this is a very small auditorium compared to the world. And we are not of every nation and tribe and tongue and language and people. God gives us a vision that goes much broader, much wider than this auditorium. We have to lift our sights to the world for whom Jesus died. And that's a gift from God as well. People who can see beyond their needs and beyond their life as it is now, beyond these walls, to a world that absolutely needs a Savior in a desperate way. That's the vision of God. I want to put a graphic up on the screen so you can see this. This comes from Wycliffe Translators. It talks about the number of languages translated in the Bible. There are 6,918 languages in the world, languages without a translation but needing one, a little over 2,000 still. The number of languages with the New Testament, 1,294. The number of languages with an entire Bible, 513. The world's population, 7 billion. People who speak languages without a translation of the Bible, estimated to be 350 million people. Friends, look beyond the walls of this auditorium. There is a whole world out there from every tribe and tongue and people and nation that not only need the Word of God, they need trained people to teach them the Word of God. And as desperate and awful as these statistics seem to be, tragic, I think there's something even more tragic than this. And that is the statistic that shows how many pastors are totally untrained trying to feed this world of people who need the Word of God. Here's a fact for you. There is only one trained pastor in China for every 60,000 house church believers. Think about that. Don't let it go by too quickly. One for 60,000. Now, you and I, in the framework of this church, enjoy multiple pastors, well-trained. In China, they have one for 60,000 of us. Think about this fact. A pastor in Peru grieved that his large denomination lacks trained pastors for 90% of their churches. Only 10% of these churches in Peru have a pastor who's had any Bible training. Here's another fact. One denomination in Uganda has 1,000 congregations, but only 8 trained pastors for 1,000 churches. They're estimated between 2.2 and 3.4 million pastors in the world today, but only 5% of them are trained in ministry. That means only 5% of the pastors in the world today have had any Bible training, any theology training in the Christian faith at all. If I invited you to come to this stage, stand behind this podium, and teach this audience, you would have more information just sitting in the pew than these pastors have, and they're trying to lead their people. Untrained pastors all over the world need help. In the Philippines, all the seminaries and Bible colleges in the whole country could not train even 5% of the pastors needed to pastor churches in that country. In fact, someone has said that in some countries, the church is literally growing itself to death. Literally growing itself to death, meaning that there are so many people coming to know the Lord as Savior, so many churches being planted, and so few pastors trained to lead these people. So they grow, and there's no one there to teach them, and they filter away from the church and go elsewhere, or go into a cult. Here's another graphic I'd like you to see. This comes from the Reformation Today magazine. And the article is entitled Theological Training for Untrained Pastors. Listen to this. You look at it, I'll read it to you. There is a vast lack of the most basic Bible knowledge as well as foundational Christian doctrine among church members and their untrained leaders. Millions of African Christians still have the idea that Christ needs the assistance of ancestral spirits to bring real reconciliation with God. The outcome of the lack of basically trained pastors is heresies and syncretism. The difference between the church and the world just fades away. That, my friend, is the situation in the church all over the world outside of these walls. God has given us the gift of salvation. We're grateful for that, aren't we? He's given us the gift of vision to enable us to see beyond ourselves, beyond these pews, beyond this location, to see a world of every people, nation, tongue, and tribe, but to see that the church is growing around the world, but the pastors just aren't there and are trained to teach them, to lead them. That leads me to the third gift that God has given us, the gift of salvation, the gift of vision. God has also given us a gift of divine commission. He has commissioned us to serve Him. You know, there's an anthology that is entitled Every Man His Way. It was edited in 1968 by Professor Alan Dundas. He says this, people are prone to appreciate more when things are in a group of three. In other words, three is very important to us. Let me show you what I mean. I will give you two names out of three, and you shout out the third one, okay? Don't be bashful. This is a Baptist church. You can shout, all right? When I give you two names, you tell me what the third one is. Athos, Porthos, and Aramis, right, the three musketeers. How about these? Jose Carreras, Placido Domingo, and Luciano Pavarotti, the three tenors. I can see this is going way over the head of a lot of you. How about this one? Curly, Larry, and...
Oh.
Tell us a lot about this church, Pastor. How about Melchior, Caspar, and Balthazar? Right, the names given to the three wise men. Three old Greeks, Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle. And these ones, Tom Watson, Bill Gates, and Steve Jobs, three old geeks. See, things come better in threes, it appears. And even in the Bible, there are lots of threes. The gift of the Magi, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The patriarchs in the Old Testament, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For us in the New Testament, for Christianity, we have the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And the list just goes on and on and on and on. And one of the places where three is the most important in all the Bible is Matthew 28. Because in Matthew 28, Jesus says this. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now, you know what we call that. We call that the Great Commission, right? You agree, that is the Great Commission given to us by Jesus. It's not the Good Commission. It's the Great Commission. It wraps up all that Jesus commanded us to do. But would it surprise you to learn that I whacked out a third of the Great Commission and a lot of you didn't even miss it? Let me read it again. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe and obey everything I have commanded you." Make disciples, baptize them, get them incorporated into the life of the local church, and then teach them. But it's the third that we seem to be missing all over the world today in the efforts that the church makes. Now, I have to tell you, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir today because I don't know a church that does a better job with the third than Westside does. The small groups, the life groups, and other opportunities we have in this church, tremendous, absolutely tremendous. But that's within the walls of this church, a very small microcosm of what the world is really like. God gives us not only a vision for the world, all nations, tribes, tongues, and people, He also gives us a commission to go to all those people and teach them to obey everything Jesus commanded them. Well, that's three gifts. Here's number four. This is God's gift of divine succession. You know, God has a succession plan. It's always important to have a succession plan. We Christians do not do succession very well. When I came to Back to the Bible in 1990, we had already been 50 years on the air. Theodore Epp began that broadcast in 1939. In 1981, he brought Warren Wiersbe into the ministry, and Mr. Epp and Mr. Wiersbe overlapped for 4 years until Mr. Epp died in 1985. Now, overlapping for 4 years was brilliant because that allowed Warren the opportunity to win a new audience and hold the old one. When I came in 1990, even though they overlapped for 4 years, Warren finished on Friday and I began Monday morning. We should have lost half of our audience from shock value alone. Now, fortunately, we didn't. But I convinced our board right then and there, we can never do this again. We must have a succession plan. And because we have a succession plan, 3 years ago, it was my time to retire. So what do I do now? Well, I remember what Paul told young Timothy with regard to the succession plan of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, the first two verses. "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. That's God's succession plan. Entrust to reliable people those who may minister to others. And I'm thinking, Lord, I spent a lot of years on radio, and now I'm retired. But during those years, I traveled a lot and preached in a lot of places. In fact, 109 countries in the world. And every place I went, I noticed the same thing. I would meet a pastor who was doing the very best he could with what he had to work with. The problem is he had nothing to work with. Most of these pastors, as you know, 95% of them have not had any training in the Bible at all. They've had no training in Christian doctrine. They're doing what they can, but they can't do much without an education. And I said, Lord, if ever I'm in a position to help these pastors, I want to do it. I couldn't do it then because, you know, you can't produce a radio program that 10 million people are going to hear every day and do something else at the same time. But when I retired, I was retired 4 or 5 days when God reminded me of my promise. He's pretty good at that. And I said, okay, Lord, what do I do now? And it wasn't very long after that that God brought into my path a fellow who had a little device that looks just like this. Just smaller than your cell phone. It's a solar-powered device that I could record 200 sessions of my teaching on the device. Listen to this.
And that's why talking about them with friends and family will help you learn about them. But over time, the more we understand together, the more talking through the Christian faith will become an important part of us. So just keep at it.
Well, I want you to know how conversational this is. There are 200 sessions on here, 200, 20 to 22 minutes long, each of them. So we literally take these pastors or anybody else all the way through Christian theology, and it's not only good with a solar device, we also have a little flash drive. If you have a computer, you just plug it in, you can download the teaching. Print your own book if you'd like, read it on your screen, listen to it. And on the flash drive device, we have it in English and Spanish. We also have the print edition, and the entire Bible is on there as well, as is true with the solar device, because a lot of the pastors are not literate. They can't even read. God said, okay, take what I've given you and give to them. I have 50 years of stuff crammed in up here, and 50 years of experience, and then God opened this door for the Helios Projects. That's what we're all about today, the succession plan of God, where we give to another generation, another group of people, another nation, tribe, people, what God has given to us. Well, we've looked at four of God's great gifts. The gift of salvation, what a wonderful gift that is. The gift of vision, the gift of a commission to go to the entire world, the gift of a succession plan to give what God gives to us to others. Whether it's what we've learned or what we have, our finances, our abilities, our time, to have a succession plan to pass that on to others. But then there is a final gift that God gives to us, and I don't want to miss this. It's so important. It's God's gift of divine opportunity. What a terrible thing to have something but no opportunity to share it with anyone. What a terrible thing it would be to have a product that you produce and no opportunity to sell it to anyone. But I want you to know that God gives us a divine opportunity to take the teaching of God's word around the world. I want to read just a couple of verses to you from Philippians chapter 4 about God's gift of opportunity. Paul writes to the Philippian church and he says in verse 10, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. So he says, look, Philippians, I know you're concerned for me. I know you're concerned for my welfare. I know you're concerned for my ability to go from town to town and preach the word, but you just had no opportunity to show that in a tangible way, specifically in a financial way. But then he goes on later in the chapter at verse 14 and says, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was sent to Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Now, here's what I want you to know, my friends. Opportunities like we have today with the Helios Project don't come along often, but they're God's gift to us. They present to us the opportunity to get out of these walls, get beyond this auditorium, to go to Bangkok and train a pastor there, and to go to Zimbabwe and train a pastor there, and to go to Costa Rica and train a pastor there. We can go beyond ourselves if we have the opportunity. And today, God gives us this opportunity. Samuel Hearne was an 18th century explorer, English fur trader. He was a naturalist. He was the first European to make a cross-country journey in northern Canada. In fact, he was the first European to cross the Northwest Territories and Nunavut and make it all the way to the Arctic Ocean. This is an entry in Samuel Hearne's journal. I thought you'd appreciate this. He said, it was just a few days after we started on our expedition that a party of Indians stole most of our supplies. But the weight of our own baggage being so much lightened, our next day's journey was more swift and pleasant. I have laid out the need to you for the Helios Projects. Pastor Dodd now comes to lighten your baggage.
Good. Nothing is more exciting than to give. And that's exactly what we're going to do today. We're going to do two offerings. The first one, I want to invite our guys to go back and get ready to come and take our offering. The first one is for our regular budget, and that is where you tithe, and that's what supports our entire ministry together as a church that empowers us to give. Now, we have a mission team that handles a certain percentage of our budget. We give away hundreds of thousands of dollars every year toward missions that help underwrite specific missionaries, specific ministries, and specific ministry projects. And that comes out of our regular budget. Now, the Helios project that we're trying to underwrite for the Spanish language is going to cost $175,000. Our mission team has allocated this year $50,000 specifically for this project. That means we need to raise another $125,000. So this first offering is to help us just continue to do the ministry that we do, and part of that will go to Helios, but we're going to take a second offering, and that's going to be for the Helios Spanish language. So let's pray right now that God would use this offering right now. Father, thank you for the privilege of giving. I pray that it would honor you and glorify you, and that as we underwrite our church budget and give a second offering here in a moment for Helios, that Lord, you'd teach us to be real givers, being wonderful stewards of what you have blessed us so much with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.